The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. For the most comprehensive industry news and information, visit our website at irei.com and sign up for our free daily news alerts.
This is Mike Consul.
And this is Loretta Klodfelter.
Welcome to Inside the Edition. Loretta, I've got the January 2018 magazine right in front of me. The first of several feature stories has the headline, a headline that may have been inspired by Jim Morrison in The Doors, Break On Through.
We are heading to the other side.
Yes, we are, and I love that song. And I should also include the subhead because it kind of summarizes the story. As we head into 2018, what are the opportunities and where are the challenges? Obviously, the operative thoughts for 2018. What did you find?
Right. So, you know, just to pull back the curtain a little bit on this, I talked to about a dozen people, which is a lot in the course of one of these reported features. I could have talked to more. Everyone has an opinion about what's going to happen in the next year, but broadly, a lot of the themes were really very similar as I talked to different people. So the way that people are looking at 2018 is in some ways sort of as a continuation of 2017. In that, you know, a lot of the trends and themes of 2017 are expected to sort of continue through into 2018, with the caveat, of course, you know, barring unforeseen events. And so that's really, really what we're hoping for is that there will not be any unforeseen events. So, you know, thinking specifically about the title, the Break On Through, is that what we saw in 2017 was a bit of a log jam in the transaction market. So transaction volume in 2017 was lower than it was in 2016, which was itself lower than it was in 2015. And so what we're seeing is, you know, sort of a steady decline in the number of sales that are happening. And what seems to be driving this is a fairly wide spread in expectations from buyers and sellers, that there's just a, you know, what buyers are willing to pay is not what sellers are willing to sell for, and a fairly accommodating refinancing market has meant that sellers are not distressed enough to have to sell. And so the question for 2018 is, Will this logjam break? Will we see an uptick in transaction volume as the market begins to coalesce around a new expectation of what pricing should be? Because that's really been the issue, is pricing has been very, very high. Sellers are asking for a lot. And buyers are starting to say, that's a little too rich for my blood. And so then they're just, you know, and sellers are not distressed. And so there has not been that pressure on sellers to push them to sell if they don't have to. And so, yeah, I mean, that's going to be the big question for commercial real estate in 2018 is, will we break through? Will transaction volume open up? Will prices sort of come to some sort of point where agreement can happen between buyers and sellers? Now, with that said, there are two key issues in the year ahead that everyone mentioned and that everyone is sort of thinking about. Number one is tax reform, and number two is interest rates. And so looking at the year ahead, how those two issues play out will also have some really substantial effects for commercial real estate. You know, we've been talking about this tax bill that just passed and was signed into law just a week or two ago. That's going to have really, really dramatic effects for commercial real estate. Broadly positive for the commercial side, though maybe a bit more negative on the residential, on the home building side. And so that's definitely something to be considering in the year ahead. And then interest rates, if they continue their measured increase, we saw rates go up in December, but by a small amount, and that's, you know, I think we had three rate hikes in 2017, each of a 25 basis points, and if 2018 follows that path, which many expect it will, although predicting interest rates is a fool's errand. But if we do see that sort of quarter point sort of situation several times in the year, that's sort of what's being expected. That's what's being priced in, and it's unlikely to have any sort of dramatic effect that could be substantially negative for cap rates. You know, and it really remains a bit, you know, a bit of a theoretical conundrum about just how closely cap rates and interest rates are tied together. And I have heard some skepticism that, you know, an interest rate rise might not just mean an automatic rise in cap rates. And so, you know, there's definitely some room for interest rates to move without cap rates having a strong response. But you know, we shall see as we look into the year ahead.
Now, revolving around the real estate industry is the larger economy, which we have just seen the Dow, as of this recording, the Dow just recently eclipsed 25,000. GDP has risen.
Yeah,
3%
range. It's been in the 3% range, which is very, very good for a developed economy like the U.S.
Yeah, it's one. I'm glad you mentioned that, because a lot of people seem to think, well, why aren't we growing at 5%? Well, when you have a $17 or $20 trillion economy, 5% is extremely hot growth, and maybe even dangerously hot growth. But what we're looking at here is if past this prologue, 2017 is going to be 2018 in terms of real estate anyway, and here we have the larger economy moving strongly. We're really looking at the longest economic recovery in history. I mean, how many months short are we from? This is the second longest. How many months short are we? I don't know off the top of my head. I don't know if you do, but I think we're moving in on the longest recovery in U.S. history.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I will say that you're correct that this has been just a very long, very, you know, this is quite the expansion that we've just come from. I mean, keeping in mind the global financial crisis was a very severe shock to the system, and the recovery to it has been extremely slow. So while this expansion has gone on for a long time, we're only just now beginning to get back to some of the previously recorded peaks. You know, as you said, it has not been an overheated growth cycle, and for real estate, that's really for the best. You know, real estate doesn't necessarily do well in the hottest of economies, where things get overheated, you get overbuilding, you get a big crash afterward. You know, this more moderate growth, you know, enough growth to keep filling buildings, to have tenants doing well, but not so much that you get an overheated, overbuilding sort of situation. You know, you get out ahead of your skis. That's really a good sort of situation for commercial real estate to be in, and that's really what we've seen is a broadly positive, moderate growth scenario, which has its own challenges, as I was saying about pricing. You know, there is this sense that that buyers and sellers just are a little far apart from each other, and you know that might break open in 2018. We might see a new surge in transaction volume, but I think a lot of people think that may not happen. That we might see another year of just not quite able to get the deals that need to be made, and that's a challenge. You know, finding value in this market, I think it's a reasonable thing for investors to be cautious about wanting to buy something in this market, not knowing, you know, if you're buying at the peak, it can be a bit of a worry.
Well, so, does this mean that the uncalled capital is piling up, or are they moving into the secondary markets?
A little bit of both. So I think the answer to that question is yes and yes. Yes, secondary markets have seen some real movement into them. Not just by buyers, but also, you know, just tenants and everyone is starting to feel like, okay, the center city is topped up. Let's move out into the suburbs. But you know, there remains to be a lot of uncalled capital, and investors are continuing to look for places where they can invest, which is one reason why high yield debt funds in particular have been really attractive in the past couple of years, because it's another way to get into the real estate market, and it's one that investors are hoping is a little bit you know, more cautiously way of getting into it. But we've seen, you know, IREI, our fund tracker database has been tracking just a huge amount of capital flowing into these debt funds and these hybrid debt equity funds. And, you know, that's sort of the flip side of what I was saying with the transaction volume, is that transaction volume is down partly because there's been just so many opportunities to leverage or refinance as needed. And part of that is from these debt funds that are now, you know, offering mezzanine or preferred equity to buyer, you know, to owners who might need that. And, you know, a lot of them are choosing perhaps a refinancing instead of a sale.
Well, let's talk about the debt equity hybrid funds for a minute. How does that work? Is it that they've got their funds, they have their assets to invest, and then they simply go debt or equity based on where the best opportunities are?
Pretty much, yeah. So you've pulled in your money from your investors, and you're just looking, you know, to play up and down, you know, as they say, up and down the capital stack. But, you know, to make investments, you know, to choose your investments in real estate based on the most likely or appealing position in property by property, deal by deal. You know, so in some deals, the owner might think that the equity slice is the best place to be, where you can kind of capture any sort of upside that might happen. In other deals, they might think that a more mezzanine position with a little, you know, that doesn't have quite the same upside potential, but does have a more steady coupon income, might be the better play on that. And then you'll also see, you know, preferred equity, which is sort of a middle range strategy in that, and that you have some convertibility there. You know, another thing that happened in 2017, that began in 2017 and is likely to be something that we should be watching in 2018, is China. One of the stories in, say, 2016 was, you know, the flow of capital coming out of China, and that there's been a real pullback, especially in the latter half of 2017, as we saw, you know, Chinese capital really get sort of cut off with some capital controls from China. And so, you know, that's especially if you look, some of the West Coast markets, San Francisco is seeing that, you know, and so, you know, there's really been sort of a disappearance of those Chinese buyers that had been just the story, you know, in 15, 16.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe, isn't the Chinese government really encouraging their people to keep capital within their borders at this stage?
Indeed, yes. And in fact, one of the people I spoke to mentioned that there's actually an opportunity for, you know, a number of the earlier funds that had invested in China. You know, so this would be, you know, U.S. capital that had gone, or European capital, you know, either one that had gone into China and bought properties. It's a great opportunity now for them to turn around and sell those assets to domestic Chinese buyers.
So did you get any sense from your sources whether or not they see 2018 as a trending towards debt or trending towards equity? Is it going to be more of a debt year than equity? Or did they not indicate one way or the other?
You know, I think it's going to depend on what sort of a strategy you're looking for and how much risk you're looking to take on. And so I think different investors are going to make that decision in different places. And so, you know, I think it looks to be a year where either strategy could do well, but you just have to be thoughtful as you do it.
Now, what about property types? Did you get that specific as to which property types they expect to be the winners in 2018? And maybe some that they feel are bordering on being overbuilt, at least in some markets, or maybe the threat has run out on them.
We did. You know, and again, and this is sort of the humor of the year, is that, well, you know, more of the same. You know, 2018 is going to could look quite a bit like 2017, and so that means industrial. You know, industrial, warehouse, distribution, logistics. It had a great year, great few years, and continues to look to be a strong play in 2018. And a lot of that has to do with you know, strong economy. So we're seeing, you know, imports and that sort of thing happening. In addition, you've got the rise of e-commerce, online buying, and, you know, we've talked about this, you and I, before. And so all of that just really supports, you know, that investment thesis in good logistics properties, both the sort of last mile smaller properties and the large distribution warehouses. So, you know, broadly, broadly positive on industrial. A little bit of concern around office. It sense that it might not be the right time for it. Multifamily, you know, got a bit case of sort of headwind tailwind situation. For residential, for multifamily, there's just been so much building. We've definitely seen rents flatten out in a lot of markets just because of supply growth. But, you know, the tax bill because of both the cap on the mortgage interest deduction and the limited deductibility of property tax, from one's, you know, that whole state and local tax cap, both of those could be sort of negative for home ownership, which you know, is expected, could on the margins be sort of a positive for apartments, for multifamily. So that's sort of it remains to be seen how that's going to happen. That might breathe a little bit of new life into what has been a fairly long play in apartments. You know, apartments have done well for quite a while and have seen a lot of development and definitely some sense that they were getting a little overbuilt. Now, retail had a rough 2017.
Yeah, I already sensed your hesitation.
But, you know, again, this is a situation where it's really about asset selection, tenants, buy good real estate. I don't know how helpful that is. Like, don't be silly when you're doing this. You know, be thoughtful, be careful. But there's still opportunities in retail for sure. It's, you know, we're still going to be shopping. It's everything's not going to be Amazon.
But our formats change. I mean, consumers are fickle, and
yes,
it seems that the formats that we are attracted to change more rapidly than ever. So it seems that maybe the most complicated type of development there is out there is going to be retail going into the future, because you've got to be ready to change directions in a big hurry.
Yeah, I think that's completely accurate. I think that's really important to keep in mind.
I've also been hearing on, I heard a report, I think it may have been on National Public Radio, that it's interesting that some of the success that brick-and-mortar retailers are having is really just driving online traffic, that they're using it very much as showrooms and branding, and then driving the traffic, and they can show very clearly that when they can actually demonstrate the sales are coming from certain shopping centers and geographic regions where they have built a physical presence, but they're not having great sales per square foot in the store itself, but the online business is jumping upward.
Right, and the real challenge for landlords at that point is to be able to capture some of that, some of those sales and some of that success, probably just through a higher base rent is maybe the sense that might be the way to do it. The other thing, sort of an interesting thing that to keep an eye on in the retail market is the pop-up store, which we just came through the holiday shopping season. Sales were up according to MasterCard Spending Pulse report. So, you know, it's a good year for buying things. Consumers felt confident and were definitely willing to spend money through the shopping season. But one thing that we saw was the rise of the pop-up store, which is sort of a limited engagement. This is a particularly attractive for a retail landlord that might have an empty space. And so as sort of a seasonal one-off, a store might occupy. Sometimes an online retailer will then take this, you know, sort of a short-term physical engagement during that, you know, holiday shopping season when you've got all that foot traffic. So that is actually sort of a fascinating trend, which is, you know, we talked a lot about the online, 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 but you're also seeing some of these online-only stores branching out, at least temporarily, into the physical space.
Now, stepping back again, you know, we have heard over the years that when publicly traded REITs take a downturn, it presages an overall economic downturn. Now, they did gain in 2017, but they had come off some really banner years, and the expectation was not that they were going to have an endless string of banner years, but they clearly had a muted year in 2017.
Well, yes.
Go ahead, Loretta.
I was going to say, well, you know, if you look at the Nareit All Equity, you know, REIT index, 8% up for REITs overall in 2017, which, you know, 8% sounds all right.
A lot of investors would take that for sure.
Well, except that, you know, stack that next to the S&P 500, up 19%. Or the NASDAQ up 28%, the NASDAQ composite, or the Dow up 25%, hitting Dow 25,000. And so, you know, REITs really have lagged the broader market in the past year. It wasn't a strong year for real estate. And retail in particular, retail REITs had a poor year, ended the year in the red. And, you know, so that comes back to what you were asking. Does that forecast some concern for commercial real estate in 2018? And I think that there are at least warning signs there, so especially for the retail market. But, you know, by contrast, industrial REITs were up 20% in 2017. So,
yes.
You know, it is you know, to a certain extent, I think investors are REIT investors, stock investors, might be just trying to, maybe they're getting a little ahead of things, maybe they're overreacting to things, or maybe they are really seeing a revaluation of real estate based on changing shopping behaviors.
Well, we will hope that Happy New Year is, with respect to real estate, is not just a holiday salutation, but is actually an indicator of things to come, Loretta. Thanks a lot. It's an extensive piece in the January issue of Institutional Real Estate Americas. And again, the headline, Break On Through. And you have just heard from the magazine's editor, Loretta Klodfelter, and also the article's author. Loretta, thanks for your time.
Thank you.